Welcome to the Women Influencers in Business and CRE podcast. I am Veronica Malalas, CCIM, founder and CEO of Capstack Commercial, a commercial real estate company serving the greater Orlando area. Today's guest is Leslie Tram Lee. Her story of fleeing Vietnam with her family to becoming CEO of her own company is truly amazing. Please don't forget to hit that thumbs up button and subscribe below. I welcome your comments and please share with someone who can benefit from this podcast.
Well, good morning, Leslie. How are you today?
Good morning, Veronica. I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I am great. Thank you so much. So I wanted to just kind of dive in. You know, it's really so amazing that you have this wonderful story that you are willing to share with us. So tell us about how you grew up in your environment and how you got to where you are today.
Well, thank you, Veronica. First of all, appreciate that opportunity to be on your podcast. The second thing is, thank you for letting me have an opportunity to even share my story. All of us is our own journey, our own book, right? We write each page with our own journey. And I happen to, you know, look back at my journey and realize, you know, it has a different part of it. So I would love to share it with you. Basically, I come from Vietnam. I'm an immigrant from Vietnam. We left the country, my parents and my whole family left the country when I was 8 years old. And so we escaped Vietnam, you know, by boat. And then we got to Malaysia, and we stay in the refugee camp for almost 7 years. So that's a quiet journey there growing up as a teenager in a refugee camp. And you always wonder what's out there. You know, you feel like, why are you stuck here? You don't understand much what's going on. And then you, in a way, you kind of tucked into an environment that you feel like you got locked, like almost like jail. You know, you just don't have the freedom. And so that got me to really learning the survival in this, you know, environments and how can we survive. And then when I was about 13, they came, the police and the basically the United Nations decided, you know what, no more refugee. They decided to deport us back to Vietnam. So yes, and then so we happened to, you know, they came into the camp and they literally using force to force people out. They bring guns in, they bring, you know, tear gas in, they bring all kinds of things to force people out. So I was one of the unlucky one, actually got shot and really has to carry out and you know, and then literally I had to went through the whole trauma and with you know, the surgeries and everything. But that's really is not so much on how I felt about what this journey is about. What I learned from that was that in this moment between life and death, between really as an age of 13, 14, you just don't know anything better. You're just like, why is it you? Why is it happening to you? But then at that moment, I felt like now looking back, I felt like what amazing that what it taught me, how the survival that I could be, you know, moving forward to the journey. So after that, we did get deported back to Vietnam. I had to live in Vietnam for about a year and a half with relative. We're lucky enough, the U.S. consulate let us know that, you know, they're going to interview us and give us a chance to come to the U.S. So I made it to the U.S. as the age of 17. So now you're not quite an adult, but you're not quite, you know, a kid either, because you got, you know, the mix between the two culture and then the environments that you was in. And so I went through high school and then I went through a little bit of college. But because when immigrant come to this country, you become, because your parent doesn't speak any English. And so you become the translator, you become the provider of the family, you become the basically, you know, you're a caregiver for your whole family after that. So it forced me that I have to quit, you know, college to help my mom with her own business. So at the age of 19 and 20, I'm starting, you know, to help her run her salon. We bought a salon and then helped her run her salon. And from that moment on, I became an entrepreneur, you know, dealing with reading the leases, even though I have no idea what I'm reading in this lease, you know, escalations on the lease, triple net charge, you name it. And you're just like, what is this mumbo jumbo? I have no idea. And the landlord sent you something, you just signed it. Or sometimes you read it and it's so mumbo jumbo, you know. And then so for that journey, I helped my mom for almost 5 years. And then I start opening my own salon. And then after the salon, I built it, I sell it. And then I got into the restaurant industry as well. So we opened multiple restaurants. And then after that, I got a little bit of serial entrepreneur here. I got married to my ex-husband. He was a chiropractor, so he has different clinics. So I'm helping him run in the clinic behind it. You know, you name it. When you become a business owner, you wear multiple hats, not just only one hat. So I help him in the backgrounds with the operations and things like that. And so we opened multiple offices, and then, you know, journey took me a different route. I got divorced about, you know, 13 years ago with two daughters at the age of, you know, five and seven. And then at that moment, you know, after you learn so much about reading these leases, signing all these leases all the time, because you're the one had to sign it. And I felt like especially the community that I'm in, the minority community, doesn't have the proper representation. They don't know how to read the lease. And I'm one of them. I didn't know how to read the lease. I don't understand what a term is. I don't know what that is. So I decided, you know what? Let me get into real estate. It's always one of those things that you just like, I understand how the business works. I don't understand how to build out this store, all these things. But then one piece is that really missing and everybody needed is how to structure the lease, because it's a 5-10 years term that you sign. So that lead me to think that, you know what, let me try to get into real estate. By the way, no coach. Okay, no coaching. You know what I did? I had one guy, his name is Hong. And I asked him when I first started, I said, Hong, would you mind if I can go to your office and I volunteer to file paper for you and answer the phone for you? And he's in commercial real estate, he's CSAM as well. And this is what his answer to me. Well, Leslie, unfortunately, I can't have you come to my office because I don't serve a lot of people and I don't have a lot of phone call and, you know, frankly, I can't help you. So reject after reject, because my mind is, I'm coming into real estate to learn how to do commercial. Surprisingly, not that many people, women, or man in commercial that you can ask these questions. So as soon as you found somebody or you heard somebody in commercial, you just latch on to them and try to like, can I do something for you? Can I help you with this? Can I do this? You got to give first, right? But then out of that experience, I was like, it's not going to get me anywhere. And I start with a brokerage in KW And they promised that, hey, I'm going to let you, you know, do commercial. Believe it or not, 6 months down the road, I was like, this is not for me. No one even give a call back if you have any question. So I was just like, I quit. I don't want to deal with KW. I just went and opened and asked one of my girlfriends. She's also a broker, but she does residential. And I said to her, I said, why can you let me do commercial here? I don't know what I'm doing, but can you let me do that? And she said, okay, I'll let you do it. But one request that I have is I want to make sure you got to be very careful about it. So what I did was I got creative. So I contact all of my friends that I know in restaurant business. That's what I know, restaurant and salon. So I contact them. I said, you know what? If you need a lease, let me know. Do not go to the, you know, the owner. Come to me. So one of the restaurants here that she'd been here for a long time too, and she, they have multiple locations. She contacted me and she said, Leslie, can you represent me in this location? This location has, you know, it's a second gen CC Pizza. And I said, great, let me help you. Believe it or not, it's a 5,500 square foot second gen CC Pizza. And I signed a 10-year lease. That's after I quit KW after 6 months.
Wow.
I got commercial real estate.
Congratulations in that. So is that when you actually started your own business after that? I know you started your own brokerage and then ultimately kind of ventured into something else. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So the story didn't start, didn't begin there, that how I learned commercial real estate, because really, I think that's out of luck that I had that deal. You know, I produced that deal, but because you persistent too. But surprisingly, the broker whom I actually did the deal with, he came back and talked to his boss. His boss, the company is called, back then it's called Retail Solution. Now it's called Resolute. He said, David, you need to talk to this lady. And believe it, their company doesn't have a diversity background. So David, the owner of the company, reached out to me and he said, so Leslie, let's do lunch. So I was like, oh my God, this is the owner of the company. He called me. So, you know, my hands and palms sweat. You're in a male dominated, you know, field.
Absolutely.
So I took the lunch with him and he turned around and said, I would like for you to come work for me. And I said, you sure? He said, I would train you, I would teach you. And I said, okay. After I came back, I talked to my team, you know, they said, go for it. So I end up part with Resolute for 2 years. And that's when I have exposure to all the commercial real estate. And of course you have to go fish yourself. There's a platform there, but you got to go and keep doing it. And so I did, you know, basically I became one of the top broker for tenant representations for them for 2 years.
Congratulations. Wow. And shortly after that, after yeah. 2 years, you built your brokerage.
Yes. After yes. 2 years, I had enough. I had enough
transactions.
Transaction education, and so I became a broker, and then I start the brokerage myself. And then, well, from that, my goals for the brokerage is this: believe it or not, first of all, we don't have enough women in this industry. Not only women of color, minority, yeah. right? We don't have that. And you know what? It's so intimidating to go to some of these big meetings, some of these decision-making meetings. At the city level, at the council level, at any level, we don't have a seat at the table, you know? And so when I start the brokerage, I only employ women. For the first 7 years, I have no men in my brokerage.
So let me ask you, how long have you had your brokerage?
So this is my almost 8-9 years now.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Congratulations. That's fantastic. I am just so enthralled by your story and obviously the challenges that you've actually have talked about already. So I know for a fact that you've already transitioned into something else for your brokerage, right? I think it's development, is it not? You want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure, absolutely. So in our industries, naturally, when you learn how to do the tenant representation, landlord representation, and then you learn the investment sale side of it, and then you start, you know, realize it depends where the market at, but it's also the development is another piece that I always wanted to learn. So about 3.5-4 years ago, I happened to, I felt like I spent standing still in my business. So I seek out and I was like, I needed a coach. I needed a mentor. I need somebody to teach me this. And so before COVID happened, I went online and researched and I found my coach named Blank Strickland.
CCIM.
And, you know, like I was worried that, okay, I told him, I said, this is what I know. This is what I do. I was worried he's not going to take me in, to be honest with you. Same thing, this fear is real for all of us. Fear, because you're afraid rejection. You're afraid these people don't really open up. But believe it or not, he responded right away. And so he's been coaching me for the past 4 years from development, how to build from the ground up. His background is extensive knowledge with you know, development, redevelopments, and also syndications. So for me, he's taught me how to build and successful, believe it or not, my first building that I built, I worked with him from, you know, from the conceptual to the step of, you know, how to lay everything out, and then from the exit strategies and everything. And we built it. Literally, this is the first project I ever done. And thank God that I asked him to babysit me along the way. And after 2.5 years, we delivered the project, we sold out. And now I'm just like, at least, you know, like you gotta have someone walk with you and know what they're doing. And oh, so
fantastic.
For that, I can't thank him enough. But yeah, now we in the development spaces, we do retail flex, retail. I don't do a lot of industrial, but you know, we'll love to acquire some industrial property. Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's amazing. I know Blaine Strickland because he was also my coach when we built our company about 3 years ago. But I wanted to kind of move on and talk about the influence that you've had on small businesses in Austin. I know that they're an underserved community.
You know, come from an immigrant background, I can relate it to, you know, Hispanic community, Thai, Asian, most of the Asian community and whatnot, understanding that language barrier is the thing. Going through a process for the permitting is a problem. Trying to find the right architect, the right people to help you, that's another challenge. And then run the business and sustain it, that's another challenge. For me, learning from what I learned as my own experience as a small business owner, I didn't know what I didn't know. I didn't know most of the big business, they go to the venture capitalists and they seek money and they have money to run the business. In the minority Asian or minority community, we don't have anyone to ask. We ask a parent, a family, or it's our own saving. And that's how I start my business. I start with my own saving. I want to make sure I pay the rent first and then, you know, everything else, and I eat last. And so because of that, that's always been in my heart. I felt so much for small business that I want to make sure everything that we built from ground up development that I built, I was trying to make sure that if I rent them, I try to keep my rental is 15-20% below the rental rate, so at least to help the small business owner out. And that's crucial. And then make sure that I bring them to, you know, vanilla shell space instead of have them give them a straw space that they don't know what to do with it and they have to dump a lot of money in. So I put my own personal experience that I had to run through the things that I didn't know, that it cost me so much money, that I try to protect the small business owner that way, to make sure that, you know what, I hand you this space. All you need to do is, if you don't need anything else, just go apply for a CO permit and you can open a business right now. And that's why I built it. Yeah, that when I built it, that's why. So small business owners always in my heart. And right now I'm helping out. I'm a part of the mayor task force for the Austin Woman Entrepreneur. So what we want to set up, where Austin would be the ideal location for small businesses, especially for women that are trying to get into the business or already into the business, and we're trying to help and build a platform for women to thrive and be able to be successful at the small business, you know.
Wow. And I know you've been recognized by your local government and also by Globe Street. You've been recognized because of the amount of influence and impact you've had on your minority communities that you serve. So that is fantastic. If there was one piece of advice, Leslie, that you would give to our audience, what would that be?
Don't give up. One piece of advice I gotta say, don't give up. Challenges come to test you, to make you more resilient, make you more shine. So do not give up. Always push it through and ask for help.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. That is definitely golden. I think that we've come to the time of our interview where I get to pass on the mic to you and you get to ask me a question. So please, Leslie, go ahead and ask me that question.
So you are a very, very successful woman that I got to read more about you, and we haven't been able to meet in person, but I read about you and then from Melody and from people surrounding us. And I want to ask you, if you have, because we women in commercial real estate, and for you, if you have any advice for any woman to get into the commercial real estate, what would it be?
Well, thank you for that question, Leslie. And I will certainly agree with you that it is a male-dominated industry. And as a woman of color, not just as a woman, but as a woman of color, it is such a big challenge to try to get into the commercial real estate industry. And so my biggest advice would be, number one, to join a commercial real estate organization to get educated formally with those organizations. Now, for me, it was CCIM. And CCIM actually has been essential in getting me into the industry, because I got to network with who's who. And when you become a member of that family, you certainly are able to reach out, and they recognize that you are also trying to break into the industry. And so it is a little bit easier to seek out a mentor because of that organization that you have joined. Now, it's not just CCIM. There's NAOP, which is a development organization. There's ICSC, which is a retail organization. There is SIOR, which is an industrial, and so many others. And I know that for you, it was ARIA, or the Asian American Real Estate Association, but they might not necessarily have a formal commercial real estate education program. And so my advice would be to go to organizations that are absolutely exclusively in commercial real estate. That's number one. And number two would be seek a mentor. Now, in your case, of course, you're an immigrant, I'm an immigrant, but you had certainly, I will say the word suffer, right? You had suffered so much more than I did, because I'm an immigrant, but only because of divorce. But you're an immigrant because of the challenges that happened with your country. And so that's a totally different dynamic right there. But even then, I think especially for minority women, it is so important to get connected with commercial real estate organizations because, oh, and the other organization I wanted to mention is CRU, Commercial Real Estate Women, because these are the people that are going to embrace you. They're going to help you. And they will certainly be so, so very valuable in making sure that you can achieve your goals in commercial real estate. So that would be my answer to that question. Leslie, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today. And certainly I know that your very inspiring story of resilience and of overcoming such tremendous challenges as a child and as a teenager and building a business in the United States, that is truly inspiring. So I appreciate you, and I want to wish you happy holidays. And again, from the bottom of my heart, I thank you so much.
Thank you, Veronica. I appreciate your time that speaking with me. And then I want to leave all the audience with a mantra: take time to meditate. And every new level of your life will then demand a new version of you. So.
Fantastic. I appreciate you so much, Leslie. Take care.
Thank you.